KSVY Sonoma.
You'll never know how much I really love you. You'll never know how much I really care. Listen, do you want to know a secret? Do you promise not to tell?
This is Our Timeless Secrets, and our intention is to inspire heartfelt conversation through music and dialogue that ignite our passion and empower us to move in the direction of our dreams.
In other words, we're here to share our secrets and those of our guests for what works for us to make life go better than well.
Good morning and welcome to Sonoma, California. My name is Harry Blum. You're listening to Our Timeless Secrets, and I'd like to introduce our host, Mari Best.
Well, good morning, Harry.
Good morning. Oh, I'm doing fantastic. What a glorious day.
Yes.
Oh, another beautiful day in Sonoma.
Yeah, we're here, and we have our friend in the studio silently watching from beyond. Dear Cheryl is with us, and things will go well. And, you know, you've been hearing a lot lately. I've been talking about reconnective healing and Dr. Eric Pearl, the founder of this newer world-sweeping healing modality that's beyond anything seen before on this planet. And there's a reason for this that has brought the scientific community together with the healing community. And while Dr. Eric Pearl, a very successful chiropractor from L.A., was in the discovery of this phenomenal reconnective healing, one of his clients, Frederick Ponslov, went into a trance and shared with him six phrases. First phrase: we're here to tell you to continue doing what you are doing. Two, what you are doing is bringing light and information onto the planet. Three, what you are doing is reconnecting strings. Four, what you are doing is reconnecting strands. Five, you must seek/know that you are a master. And six, we've come because of your reputation. So now today, we have the great honor of bringing both Dr. Eric Pearl and Frederick Ponslov onto Our Timeless Secrets. And they're going to share a wonderful secret with you. So get your coffee or your tea ready, sit back and relax, and listen to what is possible for you. Meanwhile, there's one thing I do want to share. Harry and I had this amazing privilege of being in Sacramento this weekend with Dr. Eric Pearl, and we went through the process of becoming
certified
reconnective
healers. It was pretty awesome.
Yes. Oh, so
the energy in the room was beyond belief. It truly was. I mean, you just sat there and just vibrated. We vibrated so much that light bulbs started blowing in the ceiling for no reason at all. So you know there's some serious energy in that room. And the place that we were staying had a power outage that they've never experienced in the history of the facility. And they can't figure out why it went out.
Yes. And it was, shall we say, it was electric. It was electrifying. Anyway, there is no doubt there is palpable energy in all of this. And we have also just completed reading the book Solomon Speaks. And one of the purposes of us getting together today is to talk about Solomon Speaks. So it looks like we're going to be getting on with that right now. But meanwhile, what I'd like to do is to read from the cover of the book Solomon Speaks. Quote, "I'm here to help you remember who you are, the greatness that you are, the greatness that is in all human life forms and the respect with which somebody should be treated. Once that is fully realized, then you have paradise. And whoa, if that doesn't set us up for an amazing read, I might add, and our friend Cheryl has also been reading it too, and we're all of the same opinion that we have to keep rereading certain paragraphs, and it's wonderful. So we have on the line...
Fred.
Oh, welcome, Fred.
Hi there.
How are you, my darling?
Good, thank you.
Notice I just went right into my darling. This is not about being automatic. It's obviously a feeling that I have about you already. And we are so excited that you're here to talk about Solomon Speaks and the event coming up. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. It's been a pretty good day.
Well, that's good, because it's going to only get better now, we have decided. And we should be having Eric joining us shortly. And so, and what have you been doing in preparation for this upcoming weekend?
Well, I have to say it's a little daunting.
Yes.
I mean, I've reread the book again just to sort of make sure that I've read it for the 15th or 16th time, whatever. And, you know, I just want people to come away with a deeper understanding of how much power they have in their lives. I mean, that's my goal.
Well,
that's my mission, I think.
That's your mission, and that will be accomplished. I have absolutely no doubt of that. And when you relax into that space, that knowing space that you've never been let down by this wonderful entity, Solomon, that will be your gift, and you're going to be able to share it in a beautiful way. We are so looking forward to it. We will be there.
Well, from your mouth to whatever entity's ears that you want to pick.
Oh, boy. And you know, share with us just a little bit about how you felt on that first day in Dr. Eric Pearl's office when you realized that you were having one of these experiences.
Well, I have to say, I was not happy. I mean, I had never met him before. So the thought of, you know, somebody talking through me to him, or and my trying to hold into consciousness, it was really a task. I mean, I felt show up like a lunatic. But, you know, it all worked out. It all worked out. I mean, the more sessions that we did, you know, and finally I talked to him about what I was feeling. And he was very encouraging about it and non-judgmental.
Oh.
And up until that point, I mean, I was really, you know, worried about how I would be viewed with this thing that I had no idea what it was. I had no idea.
Oh, wow. You know? But... And then the process of going through the years of recording the messages that were coming through, and then going through the discernment as to what you would actually place in the book.
That was a challenge, because there was so much material. And there's even more material where we're starting to work on the second book, and there's so much, so many sessions that I had other than with Eric, with people that sort of showed up in my environment. And a lot of those were transcribed and recorded. And there's just a whole lot of information that we have just really begun to scratch the surface. So I never, you know, talked about this to a lot of people. Usually people found me or heard of me or something and then, you know, would call me and say, you know, whatever. And then we'd have a session. I mean, my brother didn't even know I was channeling until I sent him the book.
Oh, my goodness.
Because I had no idea, you know, and he's much older than I am. He's 75. And, you know, has been a businessman his entire life. I had no idea how he'd receive this. All I could tell him was I was co-writing this book and read it and see what you think.
Oh, that's wonderful. Oh,
and
my
goodness.
And he,
surprisingly, I mean, even with his viewpoint, was loved it.
Ah.
I mean, just, you know, he responded to it. He liked it. He thought it was wonderfully done. And I never thought I would get that reaction from him.
Oh, wow. That
so,
had to
you know,
be a wonderful
kind
relief.
Kind of an affirmation that there is something in here for everyone. It's not necessarily just for people who want to heal, but it's for people who want to heal their lives in terms of relationships, in terms of, you know, how they feel about their family, you know, in terms of their work environment. There's all kinds of things, different kinds of healing that can go on.
That's right. That's right. It spreads itself into every area. It just sort of seeps in as needed. And joining us now is Eric Pearl. Dr. Eric Pearl, welcome.
Hey, Mari. How are you?
I'm wonderful, especially after our amazing weekend. Thank you. Thank you. It was phenomenal in Sacramento.
And I want Fred to know one thing. Like his brother, I also think it's an amazing, amazing, amazing book and amazing, amazing information.
Yeah.
So I count.
Do you have a specific place you go to in the book on a regular basis, Eric?
I have found that I enjoy opening the book to different places at once and going there. This morning, I discovered some new places that I really enjoyed. One is one of the earliest recordings that we did, and it's funny with some, because these recordings have been transcribed, and it's funny that these early recordings are in partial fragments or sections because the energies, the frequencies, the vibration that comes through Fred when he brings Solomon through was so strong that although we were using multiple tape recorders simultaneously, sometimes all three of them would break down at once until I finally broke down and invested a great sum of money into a really strong recording system that would sustain during these frequencies. But let me share a touch of what I came across in this really old transcript. The papers are torn a little bit, but just let's listen. How do we feel an intent in a different light? We need to hear your life in this communication. And it is from these consensual hearts that we must wage our mission into our life here. It isn't just the manifestation. It is the exchange. There are such sufferings that happen in the world, and our sufferings lead us away if we allow them to. But we too often negate our suffering and somehow become victim to it. Suffering can bring immense joy if it is focused. The lessons we exchange are those that continue from lifetime to lifetime. I feel your need is to understand that which is real. It is not an easy comprehension to come by. Creation is such that it comes from an unequal and unparalleled force. It is not of this understanding. It is manifest at moments when we create out of love and beneficent face. Malevolence is only a twisted rope. It only needs to be reached out and straightened. Are we thirsty? It is the nature of thirst that determines that which comes to you. And I find that fascinating because oftentimes we only allow ourselves to notice that we are thirsty, but do we really give thought to what is the nature of our thirst? Because it is the nature of the thirst that determines that which comes to you. We are all here as one. We feel that there is a separateness between us, and that is where we often err in our understanding. But we are all here as one. We flower in different fields. We come from the same soil. And if it is your will to understand, we recognize that we have our own vibration, but we are of the same sound. We all have the music of life, if you will. In all our actions, we run into disharmony when we feel our energy taken away. We lose our way. It is like the child that turns around and feels alone, left to what we think are our own devices. And always this hurts. It can be healed. The voice that rises up from within you is the voice that heals you. It is essential, however, to persevere. In spite of our palette that is limited in color, there are other colors. We will discover them, but we are limited here. Yes, we have the power to unite, yet we seek to divide, and that is unfortunate. We have to embrace our lives individually and then unite. We have such power. Flow forward. Flow forward. Like a wave, it cannot be stopped. It moves. I wish you well.
Whoa. And if nothing else, a statement as beautiful as that has to be one of the many, many urges and that provoke both you and Fred to bring this and share this with the world. It's such a gift. And I would love to know from both of you, and so I'll ask you, Fred, when you finally came to the conclusion that, okay, this is it, we really do need to let this get out, what was the feeling that was going on with you, Fred?
Well, I you know, it took a lot of convincing from Eric, first of all. I'm about great trepidation, what can I tell you? But I think since the book has come out, and I mean, I hardly told anybody about the book, even as we were working on it. But since the book has come out, the response has been so incredibly positive that that's been very reassuring, that the message does have power, that there is something here that really can, you know, heighten the I don't want to get too new agey on it, but, you know, the vibration of the planet. I think there is something there that is really very helpful for each individual. I mean, people are going to take different things out of the book. I mean, some people are going to respond to one thing, some people are going to respond. But people seem to come away with more, and that was my goal, was that it helped them on some level to understand this very sort of complex thing called life. And that they come away with more, and that was the goal. So that has been very reaffirming since the book has been out. And, now I'm feeling much very positive about the effect it can have out there in the world.
I feel that.
Fred and I have a lot of, we are, of course, different people. We have a lot of similarities in our backgrounds. We don't come from a New Agey woo-woo background. I mean, for me, I had never studied healing. I had studied or been involved with channeling or any of those things. It was, jokingly almost, I say to people, I went home on a Thursday night thinking I was a doctor. I came back in on a Monday and I was something else. My parents always told me I was something else, but this is probably not what they had in mind. And so, people will say to me, oftentimes, they'll say, how do you deal with skeptics? And I have to say to them that, I don't address or focus on changing people who are skeptical. And besides which, I also understand that there are two types of skeptics. Those are people who are true skeptics and people who are negative. The true meaning, today's accepted meaning of skepticism is someone who is negative about something or opposed to it or wants to not believe in it. But the true, pure meaning of the skeptic in science, for example, is not that. The true meaning of a skeptic is someone who comes in with no preconceived beliefs, one way or another, no intention to prove or to disprove, but to observe without judgment, to witness and to discover the truth in the situation. So as far as skeptics, I had to overcome my own skepticism of this to discover what it was. And what I discovered along the way, one of my biggest discoveries, is that once you overcome your own skepticism, no one else's skepticism seems to matter. Neither Fred nor I attempt to convince anyone of anything. All we can really do is share our truth in a way that you can display and serve and present a gorgeous meal on a table. But it's up to each of the participants in the, you know, at the dinner table to choose and select what they would like to partake of. Now, we come from our own backgrounds of understanding. You know, Fred has a gorgeous background and an understanding and studies of Buddhism. I have acquired along the times insights and understanding and growth from science of mind, or you could call it religious science, which, please do not confuse with Scientology. It has nothing to do with Scientology. And also from understanding some of the concepts of the original Kabbalah, but neither one of us bring our teachings to this work. What we do, because we don't filter the perfection of the messages coming through, but what we do often find is that we recognize some of the truths from some of these great world teachings as being demonstrated in the perfection of the knowledge and the information that Sullivan brings through to us.
And you know, the last time we were talking on the air, just before we got on air, actually the night before we got on air, I had this need to seek out a prayer. And I don't know why I was keep being encouraged to do this, but it proved itself. Mary Baker Eddy, Christian Science prayer that my mother used to recite. She never went to church. She didn't have any time for it, but she had this prayer that she always used, and it was, "There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. God is all in all. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal." And it goes on. And as I read it, I thought, oh my God, this is just exactly what this is saying. It's part of what this is all about. What shows up in our bodies is not permanent, is not real, it is an illusion, perhaps. I don't know. But I just felt like this all kind of tied in for me. Everybody I know is different. But I just found myself furtively looking for that. And I was going to give it to you the other evening in Sacramento, and it disappeared. Uh-huh. I know there's a reason for that. And you're going to tell me what it is, Eric.
Of course, matter, mm-hmm. If we really think about it, what is matter except light manifesting itself strongly in a condensed form? So it allows us to recognize and experience things in a different format. And light, of course, is information, is energy in different forms of manifestation, where we allow ourselves to see various aspects of life and intelligence and light in that format. And Mary Baker Eddy was, of course, one of the many great teachers on this planet. And today we have still some wonderful teachers. I will tell you that I've learned a lot from the teachings of Lee Carroll through Kryon. I've learned amazingly from the beautiful perfection of the work spoken via Abraham through the teachings of Esther Hicks, and I'm going to say something that Fred might not say, because I don't know at what level, Fred, to be honest, that you've accepted this, but I believe that the world will come to recognize the teachings of Solomon as channeled through Fred as being one of the great teachings of the universe, and Fred being one of the great presenters of this work.
And we're in agreement with you now, Fred.
Well, that's overwhelming to handle. But thank you, I guess, but yes. I don't know.
Greg Braden has written many books, one called Divine Matrix, and he explores the existence of God within the body, four elements making up life on the planet, oxygen, hydrogen, carbon, and nitrogen. And if you take the atomic mass number of each of these elements and apply it to the ancient Hebrew alphabet using numerology, it translates into God eternal within the body. And so Greg, with many, is dedicated to find a non-compromisable link between humans and life. So how does the reconnective theory correlate with that and the efforts of a non-compromising unity?
Fred, would you like to?
Why did I know that?
Yeah, it's sort of a lightweight subject to me. I think where my journey sort of started, and I'm going to probably talk about this on Saturday, is that I had several very incontrovertible experiences of reincarnation. And there was no other explanation for the events that happened. Other than that, it was real. And I think that really guided me toward a new way of thinking. Because I think once you realize, and I think this is, the body is just the holder of the energy for the time we're here. But the energy certainly goes on and finds itself re-manifest in some other area at another time, at another place. And I think once you understand, it's not cerebral. I mean, yes, reincarnation is sort of a cerebral exercise. But once you understand it viscerally, that it's in your body, that you do live on forever, that it does go on, it frees you to really manifest the kind of joy in your life without the dread of that knife over your head. Does that make sense?
Yes.
In other words, what I'm saying is that, Solomon says in I don't know if it's in the book or it's in something else that he said that I have, but he said that, this concept of time, of that there's a beginning and an end, is really sort of artificial. It's laid upon us so that we fully experience the moment we're in, because we believe we have X amount of time to explore this life. But too often in many people it becomes dread. Everyone lives their life in terms of dread, of fear, of I'm going to die sooner. So all the energy gets put on. I've got only this little time left, but somehow for me, when I felt that I knew that I was going on, that I have no fear of dying, life became wonderful.
It's an amazing freedom that comes from that knowledge, isn't it?
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's
yes.
Freeing.
Yes.
But I think it's not something, it's like I could talk to you about what, an orange tastes like, but until you taste it yourself, you're never going to have fully the experience. And that's, Solomon says, talks about, everyone has their own answers. And I think part of the answer is discovering, and, Solomon reaffirms this, that the eternal you, not the temporal you, but the eternal you. And once you really get that viscerally, life changes.
And you know, I knew a woman who was in her mid-20s at this point in time, and she said that she was raised, her family didn't eat a lot of fruits. She had never in her life tasted, and this just came to me, Fred, because of your analogy, tasted an orange. I said, you've never tasted an orange. I said, they named an entire color after it. How could you not have tasted it? But what's interesting about the subject, and I have two things to point out. What's interesting, first, about the subject matter that just came up is I was having a deep conversation about this with someone last night. There's something about the concept of God-fearing that has always bothered me. We listen to interpretation of what's written in the Bible, and we take it as being literally accurate. And there is expressions of God-fearing in the Old Testament and somewhat in the New Testament. And I was giving a presentation in Sfat, the cradle of a city in the north of Israel, the cradle of Kabbalah, with one of the head Kabbalah rabbis, a youngish rabbi, mid-40s. And I had asked him about this translation of God-fearing, and he explained that it was a misinterpretation. It was a literal interpretation on a very base level of the word nora in Hebrew, which means fear or terrible. But in the higher interpretation of this, which was actually intended, if you look at the overall communication, it means awe. And, of course, a state of awe is a neutral state of wonder, and we attribute fear, or we allow ourselves to step into that wonder. And it's not the accurate translation that most of us read of God-fearing, but it's really of an awesome God, a God that allows us to step into a state of awe. Now, many of the teachings of Solomon allow us to begin to access these deeper understandings, but they punctuate themselves, just for those of us who need this, in the form of phenomena at time. It started with the phenomena of lamps turning themselves off and on around me, doors opening and closing physically, and many other things to go into. But Mari, you were at the seminar that we just gave in Sacramento this weekend, correct?
Yes.
So, if you recall, and you might even know what point I'm about to get to. If you recall, there was one point where I decided to share some of teachings of, and at the moment I started to speak, I waved my hand for some reason, just, you know, naturally the way you accentuate a statement when you use your hands naturally. Do you recall what happened in the room at that moment?
Yes, there was a loud explosion and a few screams while a bulb exploded from the ceiling.
That's right. And if you've spoken with other people who have been at previous seminars, this happens very often. I'm really looking forward to what's going on this Saturday, June 29th, what we're doing here in Los Angeles at the Hilton Hotel in Universal City is we're giving, Fred and I are giving the very, very, very first presentation in relation to the book, Solomon Speaks, where Fred and I will discuss our lessons from it, insights from it, understandings. We will take some questions to get the concept and the temperature of the live attending audience in there. And for the very first time in relationship to this book, Fred will give his first live presentation of Solomon to the public. But Fred is actually stepping into something that's a little bit outside of his comfort zone, but really naturally within our comfort zone for Fred and I stepping into our responsibility here. We need to make this more publicly available and just people who can attend in Los Angeles. So we are live streaming this presentation internationally. It will be translated into, get this, 66 different languages. And if you're interested in participating in the live streaming or in person, if you go to the website, thereconnection.com, and there are multiple websites, but to keep things simple for the listeners, just as you're familiar with the book, my first book, The Reconnection, Heal Others, Heal Yourself, we made the website, thereconnection.com, and if you go there, you will find information as to how to attend this first seminar that is being given, you could say by Fred, you could say by me, but in reality, it's being given by Solomon.
66 languages.
That's, the good news is you don't have...
Well, it'll be interesting. It is.
And the good news is, Fred, you don't have to worry about that part.
I can barely translate English.
And I just had a message from one of our listeners over on the east coast of the United States in Milton, Delaware. And she listens all the time, and she has read both of the books, and she's just vibrating from the ceiling as we speak, I think. She's loving the show. And one of the questions she asked is, what does Solomon say about being as a child when it comes to parenting the children of this age?
Could you just repeat that again?
So she says, what does Solomon say about, quote, being as a child, end quote, when it comes to parenting the children of this age?
Oh, there's a lightweight question.
Well, you know what? We can maybe save it until Saturday.
No, I mean, from the broad perspective, you know, these, you know, Solomon said one time, I remember this, I'm trying to figure out where it was from. He was saying, you know, sometimes we look at children as children, but they're very old. He said at one point, they're very old, those children. You know, and sometimes these relationships that manifest as your children are very, very profound in terms of your history with them. And children initially stay very connected, get it. And then as they grow older, they lose the connection to the other side. But in their very first months and years, you know, 1 year old, they're still very connected. But because they have to, you know, experience this world solely, they lose that connection. But there's the wisdom that they bring in is pretty profound. And I think sometimes, I think we try to form our children. You know, we try to shape them. And they already have the goods. I think how children should be viewed from a Solomon standpoint as very wise entities that have come to reappear. And we have to give them the support that they can fully reappear. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I think, I think we really... think that we have control over our children and that we have, you know, the ability to make them whatever we choose to make them. And they're a whole different world, you know, and they come with their mission. And I think we as parents, and I have never been a parent except to two dogs, is to help them find who they are and their mission in this plane at this time, and to reinforce that, not to judge, but to reinforce their mission.
And perhaps being as a child means more about listening to what the children are saying as they are entering this world, because they have a lot to share with us. They really do. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, sometimes they have messages that are incredibly profound, but we deem them as children, and of course they can't possibly know anything because they're children.
Yeah,
you know, and I think that's a mistake we make a lot of our relationships. I mean, the bum, as I said this before, the bum on the street could have the cure to cancer, but it isn't packaged right, so we don't accept it. You know, we don't, because they're the bum on the street. Of course they can't know anything. And I think that's the mistake we make with a lot of relationships, is that we project onto them there are limitations for them, and they're infinite. They can, I mean, you can get great sage advice from a garbage man if you're open to it.
This is true.
I have a little story, and then I'll let this go. But one time I went to see a musical that Harold Prince was directing called A Doll's Life, and it was the musical about a doll's house. What happened to Nora after she left the house? Very pivotal play. And I saw it, and I had really strong reactions to it. Things that I thought were wrong, things that I thought. And I thought, what the hell, I'll write him a letter. So I wrote him a letter, and I said, you know, dear Mr. Prince, you don't know me from Adam, but I thought this, and this. And I mailed it off. I got the most amazing letter back from him, addressing every single point, because he knew good ideas could come from anybody. He didn't restrict
you know,
it. And I have found over the years when I've worked with really great, great people, they embody that same sort of ability to realize that everybody can have a great idea.
That's true. A kid can
have an amazing idea if we allow ourselves to see it.
And
end of story.
Thank you. Thank you. And it was a great story. And Eric, I hear you're there, and I know you've got something to share with us.
I was going to say a couple of things. First of all, Solomon explains that children's struggle to survive in this world is becoming increasingly more difficult. If you look into the eyes of a three-year-old, the viewpoint of a child as it becomes initially aware of a larger space leaves instinct. As children progress, and we use that word in quotes, they're born there in touch with this greater self. There comes a transition in children's lives where they have to abandon that knowledge and root themselves in this plane. Much is lost so that much can be learned and then re-accessed later in life. But in order for them to really understand the lessons in this plane, they have to let go of the encyclopedia they brought in with them. It's a closed book test. Now, what I like to say is that we view our children as empty vessels brought here for us to fill with everything that we've learned, but maybe today is the time for us to start looking from a different perspective and recognizing maybe that children are presented here as empty vessels, not for us to fill with what we think that we've learned, but for us to learn how to become empty vessels once again. Solomon explains at one point, he says, your needs here are those of a child lost in the woods. You're looking for the open, accessible path that is the nearest and clearest to you. In many ways, it is a secret garden for you. But you need to investigate the path that is not the clearest on face value. There is a clearing in the woods that needs to be arrived at. You will find it soon. It is coming, and that clearing will allow you to orchestrate your energy that is befitting a kind of harmonic convergence, for lack of a better word, within the lives you are touching.
And Amy Stewart, if you're listening, I know you're listening out there on the East Coast, you had profound answers to your question. And I love this discussion. I could go on all day with this. However, before we leave the air, I would like you to reiterate the plan for Saturday and how people can get themselves there and or be involved with the streaming.
Well, first of all the information that you need is on the website www.thereconnection.com, and we've set it up to make it really easy. When you go to thereconnection.com, immediately before you get into the website, there is, I know this is an ugly word in internet languaging, but there is a pop-up that immediately tells you how you can attend the live paneling of Solomon, either in person this Saturday, it's from 10 in the morning till 5 in the afternoon, at the Universal City Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles, or how you can attend from anywhere in the world via live stream on the internet.
And that is perfect. And we will be there with bells on and looking forward to seeing you again and looking forward to meeting you too, Fred. And thank you so much for enlightening us and for stepping into the shoes that you're wearing now, because this is a profound moment in history, and I really, really get how important and what a you took a risk by stepping into these shoes, and I really honor you for that. Once again, thank you, Dr. Eric Pearl and Fred Ponslov. We're looking forward to Solomon Speaks. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, our pleasure.
Thank you. And the best way I can finish and wind up this show is to play a song by Michael Jackson. And so before we leave, however, I would like to thank all of those people who have made it possible for me to bring the show together. Our sponsors, Sonoma Silver, Large Leather, and for Keala Healing.com, our reconnective healer who is local here, and for my sweet Harry for all the work that he does in making this possible. And thank you, KSVY, for hosting the show. And here's Michael.
There's a place in your heart, and I know that it is love. And this place is much brighter than tomorrow. And if you really try, you'll find there's no need to cry. In this place, you feel there's no hurt or sorrow. There are ways to get there if you care enough for the living. Make a little space, make a better place, heal the world, make it a better place, for you and for me and the entire human race, thereby equalizing, if you care enough for the living, make a better place for you. Love that cannot lie. Love is strong and only cares for joyful giving. If we try, we shall see. In this bliss we cannot feel. There are dreams. Stop existing and start living. Then it feels that always love's enough, hope is growing.
Here on Our Timeless Secrets is where you can catch a glimpse of the mystical Mari. Mari is a certified intuitive success coach, a channel, ably assisted by her spirit guides, Esophocles and Andante. Mari is the catalyst for change. She will capture an audience to facilitate individuals on how to trust feelings and take responsibility for their lives, bringing them clarity, freedom, and peace. Mari uses the simple tools of laughter, song, and poetry, and her impish Scottish wit. And of course, her spirit guides, Esophocles and Andante, are always with her. Her message is simple. Give choice, a voice, and always come from a place of unconditional love. You can be coached by Mari via phone or on Skype or better still, in person. 707-934-7717 or email at maribest@gmail.com. That's M-A-H-R-I best, as in the very best, @gmail.com. Or on the web at maribest.com.
May you always walk in sunshine, slumber warm when night